comes to mind that we know, and I've read, and to me, that one of the most exciting things about your experience with the Spirit of God is that His mercies are new every morning, no matter what last night happened to be. And I've had some last nights that were, let's just forget about that. But that we wouldn't allow our today, because it's the only time we can do anything, we wouldn't allow our today to be so stuffed with the aspect of here we go again, or traditional, or I've heard all that, I don't need it. But that God is, He's magnificent. Everybody you've ever seen or walked by, He made. He knows their beginning and their end, their ups, down, the hair and the hair. Multitude of angels, it's vast. It's just, and there are times, the enemy kind of comes in and floods the head with, he'll give you so many good things about yourself that you go to the mirror and give yourself a commendation. But the reality is we can track in idiot history. I know that. I've heard that. Because the truth of the matter, things that I thought I knew, and I think I told you once, I said, "Buddy, you've said that at this place about 15 times." And bless your heart, I think they got it. And he said, "Yeah, well," and then afterward, I think I mentioned this to you, a couple of people came up and said, "Wow, I never saw it that way before." And so, but understand, your Heavenly Father with you is new every day. He's got new stuff for you. And I think when sometimes we get flooded and we're just thrilled about the thoughts like David was, but I think the laziness comes in where we don't tune to what do you have today, or can I get an honest, definite answer from you, God? Because that doesn't come right away. I thought Ariana took us the other day right into an honest treatise. She said, "Well, that's it." And sometimes that's it. You don't have any more. Because we have never done the cash in, which is full growth by God, I want it all. And as long as I'm messing around with trivialities and the problems of the world, the news becomes encyclopedic bombs. And God knows all that. Right? He has all this stuff, and He looks at the trash, and actually it's going to go with fire. And you're already being burned up in areas. He's burning a lot of your little habits. He just doesn't care about mine. I thought, well, I thought that was something I liked. And and then He reminds me of what I ask Him. I want it all. Okay. I'm tired of messing around in this. And then He shows me that I wasn't so tired of messing around. God help us. We have a Father who's going to finish. He doesn't say to the 3-year-old or the 17-year-old, "That's good. You really are wonderful." He's not satisfied until you awake in His likeness. So For some, it's going to be a long ride, and it will happen on the other side, perhaps. I kind of wondered and thought, well, I keep telling you, you can make it. And sometimes I ought to say, well, Bill, he could even do that for you. Anyway, God help us. Let's break damnable habits that are just stink and religious and boring, okay? Can we do that? Can we pray about that? Huh? Oh, two guys think we could. Okay, well, that'll start. That'll be enough. There were only two that got through the whole thing anyway. But with us, Lord, as we meet you again, break habits that are stinking and do not please you, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Thank you.
this morning is review, primarily. And I was thinking that 50 years ago, I sat with a thoracic surgeon, very rich guy, who was the father-in-law of Corley. And I said to him, I said, what is an interesting thing is the Spirit of God has given your son-in-law information and an understanding that goes beyond what some of the formal PhDs in various seminaries have. They don't have that revelation. And he, oh boy, did he write me off. He didn't say a lot, but he said some things. And this morning you sit here with, I believe, a cutting edge of things, because the emphasis that Jesus made when he said, take my yoke, individuals thought, okay, now we're going to be yoked to Jesus. And he was saying that your yoke should be with God the Father as mine is. And we've heard here, and it's true, that Jesus had to grow. He had to grow in Christ. He was born Christ, and another psalmist is born. And because the greatest gift that mankind has, you have a bond with God Himself because of what the offering of Christ has become for you. And the greatest gift there is the love of God. The most powerful gift is the love of God. And if you're here today, I just want to tell you, and I've been, sometimes I've preached here for years and didn't have this, but now I'm very much aware that if there's anybody that I don't love, my relationship with God is foggy, cloudy, muddy. It's a stupid thing to think that I love God, but some of you are so ugly I can't stand you. But I live that way, and God launched my whatever you can call it, a ministry if you're, but the point is, this is a growth activity. And ask yourself today, before anything happens, and you can just sit there and pray and ask God for help, because if there's people that are in your way because you don't like them, you have tension with them, you're a mess. I've been a mess, I know what it is. I don't want to declare I'm finished in that, but I know very well. And I have said, God, please, I want your love to be prominent. I don't want my opinions to prevail in me. And when your opinions prevail in you, you're a sick cookie. You're not who you really are called to be. You will get past that. And in fact, just because I say it today is not necessarily going to help you if you're in that kind of trouble. I love the praise this morning. There was so much coming through that was fresh. Did you sense that? Anybody else?
Yes.
But especially to me that He is our peace. And I wish, and my friend, and I really love Archer Torrey because he was so humble, such a brilliant guy, and he had enough rebel in him to tell the Episcopal Church when they said, well, we don't want you we think you shouldn't be having a community. And he said, well, if I'm not having a community, I'm out of here. I'm going to keep the community. I don't have to have. And he was really a sweet guy. The people, he was here, we had a chance to see him. And I didn't have the depth or understanding or the kind of passion that God insists we come to at the time. And he had a lovely wife. We had fun with Brother Buddy, Sister Lee, and he and his wife when we were there in Korea. It was quite a place. But you come here today in the great test, and I gave you a little head start because we're going to look at that today. You feel free to crash in here. These guys, I've asked them to come in too. But if just for the sake of a depth of understanding, one of the greatest gifts that God has provided is to give us a peek into His plan. And His plan clearly was to mess you up so bad at birth in the Adamic nature that you would say, enough. You would want to get the world out of your system. Now, that doesn't happen right away, and I'm talking to a lot of high school kids here, younger ones, and even older, who said, no, I'm not through. I am so attached to the world, and I'm so connected. The world's falling apart, and I've got to do something about it. Well, no, you don't. You really need to take care of yourself. And all of us have a kind of stupid compulsion to kind of find out what's going on. We were in the middle of bigger things when Israel turned their guns back on Iran. But God knows all the chaos. It doesn't fluster Him. I've used this metaphor before. The smoke of every Jew that was burned or destroyed, or God can recover. There's nothing lost that God wants to keep. And so let's take a few minutes and talk about this aspect of what the provision is. Just a few minutes. We don't have to make a long thing. It doesn't have to be a long service today. The weather is great. People are going out, and it's almost summer again. You know, we don't have a beach front, but it's sure nice. We have a river front that can be scary. And we're going to be on boats soon. Anyway, talk to me. What is it that God has done in terms of provision that is a wonder that you're beginning to get a grip on? You don't have to have it all, but let me hear from you, please. And nice and loud, don't.
Just the provision to be able to talk to Him about.
Yeah, you have access. Yeah, great word. I don't have access to any major people except the one who knows them all.
New mercies.
What?
New mercies.
Oh, man.
Because you said at the beginning, it's like, you know, you've been through your 94s and weren't proud of it, but every day is a new opportunity.
Yeah, every stinking, rotten, filthy thing that you have done and that I have done, God absolutely buried him in the sea of forgetfulness forever. Doesn't stop us from being appreciative and saying, I was a real horse's rear today. God help me. I was angry. I had responses that I don't like. And now we know we have them. Before, we didn't care. You know? And even along the way, we didn't care. But we got to a place where we couldn't live with ourselves, you know.
I was going to say it, Bill.
What?
I was going to say that too, but the word grace, singing Amazing Grace this morning, it always hits me how consistent and forever His grace is for us.
Yeah.
And how His ability to keep pushing and prodding us to an extent to become who He wants us to be, even though we keep failing.
Yeah.
Our human nature keeps showing itself. Consistently shows up with grace and sees who we are to be, and that's overwhelming.
I was thinking of this when I heard it this morning, because somebody told me years ago that, you know, I know that, you know, Amazing Grace is a great song, but they said that some of the rockers, some of the wild guys are doing acid and chasing women all night to lose their brains in White Plains, that when they get on stage sometimes with the wildest crowd and they play Amazing Grace, that somebody is broken in the crowd, and the wildest people are touched just by the song. Because God, you know, he's not left out of anything. He isn't. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, whether it's the cycle race, the Super Bowl, or, you know, anything, somehow he sneaks in and makes himself somewhat, I mean, he's being touched. I mean, you see these guys, they go and they run, 75 yards for a touchdown, and they get up and, road ants. Yeah, you did it. Well, I don't know. That's an acknowledgement. I think it's kind of funny. But at any rate, it's good to acknowledge that he gave you legs to run and he can take them away and he's not impressed with yours. Okay. Yeah, please.
Dave said 1 point for God, 7 for me. I wrote this morning. This really is just what was said. So it says, I don't know where you find yourself today, but in the din and struggle, there should be a great assurance of the mercy of God, who is at work this morning to draw you up out of the realm of man into the realm of the Son, which is what has been said here. But just, it is very easy to be swallowed by just what the day, the cares of the day, and there must be this assurance of the work of the Lord this morning that's current, the mercy, the grace, that is specific. You know, you were said, what has He done? Well, mercy this morning is coming to me to reveal what must remain and what must go. That's a great assurance that that's at work today, you know, and that's got to rise above the din of the day.
Yeah, and for a long time in this whole new awareness of the grace and mercy, I was saying things like, well, unless you offer, you don't. Well, no, no matter what you do, you get a learning. Because anybody that's, you know, let's say, returned to alcohol, returned to chasing women, returned to stamp collecting, returned to whatever engulfs them, they find in that return that they left because they thought it was bad or it wasn't doing anything for them, they learn how gnarly and how indifferent and how hard you can get. One of the things that God has said to me, watch your heart. And I've found my heart in the most, I mean, and I'm not talking about years ago, I'm talking about knowing what I know. And my heart was still wretched. And God is doing that. And I think that's what Ariana was getting to, is this, don't be so torn up because you're such a mess. God wants you to think the way He does about what you are carrying that must go, so that you are willing to say, "What, God, please, would you take away what you do not want?" And you said here today, there is nothing in you. I've said this before. I hope somebody wrote it down. But if there's something in you, envy, competition. I mean, I was a maniac to win, you know? And my darling wife, if you play a game with her, I mean, I don't know where she is now on that, because we haven't been playing some of the games. But I'm telling you, I was a very disturbed man taking the kids here to the speech tournament and running them, making them go to your families and go to this and that. We're going to inundate them. We're going to crush them. That's sick. And you were under that kind of leadership, and I'm not happy about it. Please. Is it over for me? Not completely. There may be a root down there that has to go. But you have all the power. All the power. All the power resident to close the door on that. And you've closed the door on stuff, and so have I, that you've invited back because you just didn't get it out of your system. Thanks. Okay.
I was thinking the biggest provision that I think God has provided us is a connection to the only thing in the cosmos that understands us. And I mean every single us, right? Because every single person is different, and there is no one, no matter how much you want to be understood, there's no one in the world that is going to understand the depths of you. But God started right at the beginning of the process. He created the depths of you, right? And he created it so flawed and twisted. And then he said, I know that because I made it.
Yeah.
And also, I'm here, and I'm going to give you an opportunity every single day to not be that, but to be me, to be exactly like me. And not only that, but I'm going to give you the power to do that, and every single time you fall, I'm going to still be here, and I'm going to still love you all the times you fall, and I know all the times you fall, because I know everything, and the best part is, I'm going to hang around for the entire process, and I'm going to get you to the end of the process, and you are going to be like me, regardless of how long it takes, because I have all the time in the world.
Somebody say amen. Yeah, and that's as clear as it can be. I'll give you $20 for your shirt. It's a little jealousy, you know. No, you don't need that. You're tough. I'll give you $20 for your shirt. Yeah, I've already, it's almost too late for me even with $20. All right, so this, turn with me to Proverbs 4, okay? Now, this isn't new, but it's significant. And please, if you have something you wanted to share, we'll give time to that, because this is vital. When it's coming out of you, when you can articulate it as clearly as we're hearing it this morning, this is rich. I mean, anybody that would look across and say, well, there's not much happening there. We're in trouble. We are in trouble, because we're not finished. But this is a beautiful thing to hear clearly in the most terse and definitive statement that you just heard from David. That's rich, folks. Most of the people in around the planet don't have that awareness of what God has provided. They don't have to understand it to be beneficiaries of it, though. That's a good thing, too. Because he loves the babes. He loves the little ones. All right. Hear ye, children, Proverbs 4:1. The instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thy heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. What is this indicating? What is the purpose and the finality of Proverbs 4? What is it stating? It is necessary for you to get that understanding. All right. Anybody else?
Yeah, we don't know the way to go.
All right.
People provide instruction for us.
And what is this structure that is being talked about?
It's to hear his voice and to listen to what he's telling you.
Whose?
God, the Holy Spirit. It's a direction. That's the new life.
Well, you can say that. No, you're right. You can say that about many passages. But what is special about this in the sense, Ariana, you can, pardon?
He's calling us sons, and he's our father.
Yes, that's true. Ariana, did you read this? Yeah. You're going to tell me you did? What did you see? I mean, you don't have to say anything, but what did you see?
I don't know. I think the Lord is asking us to be obedient.
Say it again. No question. Right. He's asking us to be obedient.
There's a pathway to our perfection.
All right. Yeah. Okay. We could come back to that, but let's go to 1 Corinthians 27, verse 20. 1 Corinthians, no, 27, no? Okay. 1 Corinthians. And it's, I don't know the chapter, I didn't write it down, but I'll read it. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world, yeah, to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, talking about us, isn't he? And things which are despised has God chosen. Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. on a real happy day, you could laugh at this a little bit. To bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Now hear it. God has made Christ wisdom. That's why when we sing Amazing Grace or He's broken down every wall. You are our peace. The only peace you get, it's not, you know, some people say if you want peace, you take an hour in the afternoon and go home, 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 and you'll have peace. Yeah, you may get a synthetic here and there, but you get your peace, and you don't always get it right away. Why would God hold back peace when it says that Christ is our peace? Why would he delay giving it to us, anybody? It's kind of obvious, but why?
Well, he wants us to seek him and acknowledge that he's our peace.
Yeah.
You know.
But sometimes, and I've asked him at times, I would like your peace, and I didn't get it. Well, Joe McCord ran around for several months saying, well, pray for my peace, Billy.
Well, then pray for righteousness to be revealed, because the scripture says righteousness is the peace that you get back from righteousness.
Yeah, and remember, we are being fully tested by God to come to the fullness of growth and stature. And if I'm using God, you know, I I have a, this isn't a rabbit's foot, but frequently I carry it and I hide it so that the guys who go through my luggage can't find it. I've had several places where I put it, and I like to have it on me all the time. And if we think that we can just say, you're my peace, and like, you know, he's our glorified servant, and we're front and center, I want peace. You don't get it that way. Why not? Why not? Yeah.
I'm not sure that I think the provision is being held back exactly, but I think that in the process of our growth, like from the start, we've always had access to our own agency, our own capability. But the process of growing is the process of kind of breaking down, I guess, the barrier between yourself and the provision. And sometimes you can, I've definitely been through experiences where I just had it, totally had it. Yeah. But I hadn't had it so much that I gave up on my ability to do something about it.
Yeah.
And so I was still in that cycle of, there's got to be something I can do. No. And the process of growing is the process of
knowing where it is.
Breaking through the crust of your own illusion about your ability to actually access the fact that he is.
Yeah. Literal, and if he delays, we ought to be thankful, because we know that there may be something that we've yet. I mean, for instance, if some people come into something, some people they give up smoking. I've seen them at times, or they give up something, and they'll say, "Man, are you? I mean, just." Go to God and ask him, and he'll take care of that right away. And everybody they see, they're going to convert, because, you know, and sometimes they're the ugliest people on earth because they got help, and they think now they're agents to help everybody else. And we just aren't. And I, you know, sometimes David and I are in Fabia ministry. We say, well, they say, how was it down there? I don't know if we did anything, but we did what we could, because you do not know what God is bringing forth from you in waiting. Sister Betty and I are going into a situation soon, and when we turn off the power, I want to tell you about it, because I want you praying. Please, appreciate it. But I could not go in. Would not go in, tried to go in, and there was no fruit. And if something is fruitless, you know, you become the fruit loop thinking, okay, didn't work then, but it'll sure work now. God is the sender. He is not your servant. You are his love slave. If, you know, I am his love slave. And I thought at times I was one of his agents, a very important agent. How about this, God? And God just showed me flat out I wasn't, you see. Because you wait for doctors. Sometimes an emergency thing. How many people have had to wait in an emergency? How long?
Hours.
Hour? 2 hours? I've gotten up and walked away, you know, sometimes with 20 minutes. That's the length of my capacity to stay under. Did I get help? No. Was I still sick or needy? Yes. Did I learn anything from it? We'll see. But the point is God is wisdom. And he says, Christ that I've given you is your wisdom. And all you're getting, get understanding. And let's go back and look. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. That's Christ. Forsake not her, and she will preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Interesting that God calls Christ in the feminine.
The Spirit does. Why? Because Christ had to receive. When Jesus, the Son of God, was born, he had to be a receiver. He learned obedience by what he suffered. He had to be saved. Why? What? What do you mean he had to be saved? Yeah, well, because he had a mission, and his direction was very specific. You are sons of God here today, and many of you have special direction and callings from God. And I was thinking about it today. Not everyone who leads praise is gifted in praise. But when there are some who are, I mean, did anybody ever question that Emerson William or Emerson Sr. Had a gift in praise? Huh? Anybody question that? I didn't. Anybody question Amanda when she gets up? Sometimes she just walks off the street. I don't know where she's been. She raises her hands and we start praising. Is that right? That's what I've seen. And it's a gift, but we aren't the gift. John Cheever very wisely said in a meeting, he said, I have a gift. I'm not always the gift, or something like that. What? I'm not the gift. And we, you know, somebody gets up and sings a wonderful song. I mean, you know. Did anybody ever question when Amy used to sing here that she had a gift in singing? I mean, Sister Lee said, could Amy sing again? She said it for about 5 years in a row. And Amy said, I've had enough of me. But so this understanding is, you are highly gifted, highly prized, and the love of God surrounds you and is there every minute of every hour of every day. And it's inconceivable to us because we have an invisible God. We don't see him. All right. It says, jump down to verse 13 of this thing. It's full of good stuff. Hold, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked. Well, we've done that. How was it? Not so good. And go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass by it, turn away from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. Now, turn to verse 19 over there if you got it there. The way of the wicked is in darkness. They know not where they stumble. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. I think a lot of people get sick, I have, just because of staying up too late, drinking too much coffee, anger, circumstances that play tunes in my being, but the love of Christ is health, and you can measure, and trust me in this. I come home and I look at Irving Finkeldorf, and when I left, Irving was in a stir. He just looked terrible. He looked like he's, you know, going to make his bed in hell and enjoy it. And I come back and he's shining. He's looking good. He's, hey, how you doing? Welcome back. What happened? He and God got together. He realized that Christ was the source of all the good things that are going to take him to the place of the fullness of God's plan. His plan is for you. It's on you. And you're not going to get out of it. Either do it now, you'll have to do it later. Which is better? You know, like I told you, I had a teacher who wouldn't talk to me. He said, "You'll see me at 3:10, Bill." And I said, "Well, excuse me, Mr. Woods, I don't have a workshop. And this would really be helpful because I've got practice for the team tonight. 3:10, Bill. Now, could I do, could we, please, I mean, and he closed his door on me. This principal had the gall to, when I was talking to him, to close the door on me. And he said, "My time." God comes in his time. And it's wonderful. It really, really is. I mean, I come into a service like this morning, and I'm a different puppy. There's stuff in the wind, there's stuff I don't know, but God himself gives me eyes to see the way I need to see. You can't see straight without the help of the God that has come to you and lives within the frame of your being. You can't see straight. You're cockeyed. So am I. Okay, I think you're getting it. Let's read that one line again. Let's jump over, because in Proverbs 4, it's talking about the provision of the Christ. Christ, the Lamb that was slain for the foundation of the world, and is all through history, for Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Sally, Jim, Bud, Irving, his step neighbor-in-law, all of those people who were in trouble and said, "Help, get Christ." And there are multitudes out there that are going to get it. Let's jump into verse 28 of what is that scripture? I've got to write that down. What was it? It's 1 Corinthians, what, 2, what?
1:27.
All right. Let's go to verse 28. "And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God hath chosen." He may take you in your worst state and make you do something because you're his. "Yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are." Did you notice the way that Patrick got up the other day regarding all the plaudits that were coming? And he didn't want to take any of them. He was queasy about the compliments that come. You know, and I, you know, my suggestion, and it's okay, because you get tired, maybe you think somebody, you say, "Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." You know, like the comedian used to say, "I want to thank each and every one of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you." You know, anyway, "that no flesh should glory in his presence." And here it is again. Now, this is a key line. Don't forget this. If you don't see it now, ask God to show you. But everything that's coming in Psalm 4 is speaking of Christ, the Lamb slain, not just Jesus, okay? Jesus is one. But Christ is the sum totality of God's intention to build a big family. It's a big one. A big, big family. I remember when I was reading Frank Lobo, this great man of prayer. He said, "Every day I pray. Wherever, when I go in multitudes of crowds, I pray for everybody in the crowd." And I've been in crowds like that, and I thought, what? I mean, everybody out there? Yes. God, take care of all of them. And I think that's the way we should pray for each other. God, sweep across my family today, right there at Whitestone. Help them all. But look at this. "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom." Jesus Christ the Christ was made your wisdom. And the Christ in you also is not Jesus in you. It's Christ and you who are bonded to the Father, to Father God, because he said, take my yoke. And the yoke that you're bonded to is the Father that loves you. He's the one. Okay, so is that clear? Do you see that that's what he's saying? I don't wanna, is that clear? Do you get it there? That he has made Christ wisdom. Wisdom isn't you reading, you know, Aristophanes and Plato and the other individuals and just getting their quotations down. You have instant access to the wisdom of God if you and God are keyed and you are giving him your life. You have an available source of wisdom. You know, on your way, I've gone in and thank God, I don't know what I'm doing here. I've got to go to this meeting. I'm sitting down. Ron's going to take me apart. I don't know what he's got in mind. Give me wisdom to talk to Ron. God helps you. He is the source and the sail, the wind behind the sail of your sanity. Have you ever caught yourself saying something just extraordinarily brilliant? And you say, who is that guy? Huh? It's Christ. It's the Lord that you are. All right. That should be it for the afternoon, and maybe tomorrow we'll see. We'll get back together again sometime. Okay. Anybody like to say any other thing about this great provision? How about the line? Explain this to me. Of his fullness, you've all received grace for grace. Grace, when I run out of grace? Yeah, you won't. You'll never run out of it. Neither will you run out of mercy. All right, let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your magnificent plan. And Father, more and more, you're showing me the beauty of what you do with the useless. We came into the world desperate and useless, and you've engendered a wonder by giving us your Son to expunge all our tomorrows, all our stuff. God, by your power, this minute, take care of anyone in the house that is floundering, fearful, feels unworthy. We didn't accomplish this. You gave it. You gave your mercy and your goodness. You gave us the ministry of Christ on the earth. It was given in the beginning and in every generation. Thank you for it. Be with us today. And be with the time of Betty and Mary with their difficulties, and for Jesus' sake, amen.